when we think about Schube, we think about a change in our life. Now, I want to think together about a request of change, which is very close to women. That's a thing which is a lot of times neglected, and we will see that this neglection is in a certain way disastrous, because everyone is missing the point. When you think about a change towards Yom Kippur, you think about keeping halacha. That's a very good thing. And I hold of keeping halacha, so perhaps first you would say that I try to be Haredi, even though there are people which are doubting that, but I try to be Haredi, that's not the point. But you try to arrange a change, considering keeping halacha. That's the first thing you think. You go through your day or you go through your week and you say, where is this mitzvah which I'm weak at, and I want to do that because the Shulchan Aruch is obligating me to do that. Let's now think, and then we will see that something very unique is showing up for a Jewish woman. First, I want to show you that perhaps you know that Rambam, he says that when Hashem counts the mitzvahs and the averes, he doesn't count them according to numbers, lefi minyan, not according to numbers, he does count them only lefi godlo, how big they are. Okay, let's stop here. So what would be when he would count them according to the numbers? Would you really think that Avodah Zorah and Muktzeh would be simply two averes? Would you think like this? Sometimes every time with the Zohar is Yorik Valiavo. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the Muktzeh, that's the Rabono. So they are the same, have the same weight? No. So whenever he would count the mitzvahs according to the counting, he would count according to the Shulchan Aruch. For sure. He would count according to the Shulchan Aruch. There are the Rabbonons, and those are weighing less. And there are the rices, and those are weighing more. And there are mitzvahs, and those are weighing in a certain way. And those are averes, which are chayiv malkus, averes are chayiv mise, averes are chayiv krisis, averes are chayiv yorik val yavo. So every single avere would have a different weight, also according to the number. You don't, number there doesn't mean number. It means, I don't know whether you do that, accounting. Yeah? The Bir Olam doesn't make accounting of your mitzvahs. Yes? So accounting too. I don't know whether someone is an accountant, but when you are an accountant, then you don't say, okay, you know what, General Motors is exactly the same volume as the Makolet next to you. No, it's not. It's a different volume, and it's different. A different clothing there, because it's much bigger. That's what accounting means. You know, what are the big junk? What is the big junk? What's small junk? That's what counting means. But the Bible doesn't do it according to the numbers. It means it doesn't do it according to accounting. But accounting would be together with the Shulchan Aruch. Clear? Yes? So when the Rambam tells you that he doesn't make accounting, it means that there is a criterion of your averes and your mitzvahs which is outside of Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Because everything in the Shulchan Aruch would be included in accounting. So there is a thing which is outside of the Shulchan Aruch, which is making your mitzvahs big or small. Clear? We don't know yet what. But that's what the Rambam says, yeah? It has to be, you have no way to escape that one. You have no way. Because it makes no sense that Muhammad says it would be according to the counting of the mitzvahs, and that would be simply 1, 2, 3, 4. It makes no sense. It's absolute. It's that flat out nonsense. That the Rambam doesn't have to tell me that the Hashem doesn't do that, because that would be nonsense. No, but there is a point that he would make the accounting. He knows exactly how the Shulchan Aruch is there, and now you see you make a mistake. I make a mistake. When I look up the Shulchan Aruch before making tshuva, I make a mistake. Why? Perhaps that's the right thing to do. Because when the Rambam says that in Hilchos Tshuva, He doesn't want to give me a glimpse into the personal life of the Borei Olam, of Hashem. That's not interesting. The Rambam didn't find Hilchos Teshuva as a very nice place to put in some philosophy. No, it's Hilchos Teshuva. And the Rambam brings that in Halacha, of Hilchos Teshuva, that means it makes a difference for you how to be Chozer B'Teshuva. That measuring of Hashem means it makes a difference. That means it obligates you to contemplate, I want to avoid a big aveira. And I won't fall into that pitfall to avoid a small aveira. Okay? Because then I would make a silly investment. I want to make an investment. I'm an investor. So I want to make a good investment. I want to make a good investment on Yom Kippur. So I have to think about what is the big aveira. Ah, the big aveira. Yeah, let's open a Shulchan Aruch. You open up the wrong thing. That's what the Rambam tells you. You will open up the wrong thing. But I'm Haredi. Okay, now, you understand now that people have a doubt whether Leichter is Haredi, but I try to be Haredi. You know, that's not the point. Only, we have to be truthful. Yes?
Can I just ask the Rambam to give us the terminology again that the Rambam says?
The exact words?
Yeah.
Veshikul ze einay nase lefi minyan elefi godlom. Yeah? And the shikul, that will be next thing when you want, the shikul is nase lefi daitoy shal keil deyes. That's what he says. When you have a Rambam over here, I can show you that. Or the yes on this, macht is genaf gemine. And he says that it's not according to the minyan, only according to the geudel, and the shikul is with the daitai shal keil deyes. Good. We'll speak about that soon. Because the Rambam sounds like a little bit poetry, you know? He would say, shikul zein asa lefi chochmosa shel avoy roilo. Daitai shal keil deyes, that's much nicer. The Rambam didn't have an urge to replace Shakespeare, okay? He did not. Especially not in halachas. When he writes Titus al Keil Deus, he means something. Also la halacha. Okay? I'm very against to say the Rambam only made it in order so to sound nice. Even though it sounds much very nice. You know, Titus al Keil Deus, wow, unbelievable, nice thing. But it means something, okay? But we have first to do, and this is a big, it's a mistake by men too. But it is a disastrous mistake by women. Because women think that Elul, they have to be Talmid Chomer and learn through the Shulchan Aruch, you know? I speak not to women, but when you speak to men and you ask them whether they would want to be married to someone which will tell them, the Sifin Shulchan Aruch. And then he says, yeah, but that's the Hachalo. And they say, no, but Eliyahu Rabbe says different. And now, Prima God, we forgot it. Someone wants to be married to such a wife. There's one person in the world which wants to do that? No. You want to be married to such a husband? Yes. So when you suddenly, you think you have to turn over into a minor Talmid Chochem, which that will be minor, yeah, that will be minor, but you will be a minor Talmid Chochem, and you will know the halacha exactly, and you will decide according to halacha. It's intrinsically wrong. It's wrong from two sides. First of all, the Rambam himself says not like this, because he says it depends on the geudel, on the, I don't know how to say that, how big the Aveira is, and not according to the accounting, and Halacha would be accounting. That's right? It's not according to accounting, it's according to how big the Aveira is. And second, you are a woman, and it's not your business to be Boki in Halacha. That's not your business. Not your business that you are Talmid Chacham and say, oh, does he know the Rabbonim? And then see the Reise, you know. Don't begin with that, yeah? That's not your field. It's not your turf. But still, you have to make a change. You know, to be Shemel, to your mitzvahs, in order to be Chayz v'tshuva. Okay? So that is the thing. That's the first. First, we have to say, I didn't yet explain or try to explain what it means, goydel aveira, or goydel amitzvah. That's, we'll speak about that. But it's clear that that has to be something which is located outside of the Shulchan Aruch. Clear? Clear. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? Good. So now the question is, what is that? Don't know really. No one knows. But it could be the Rambam says something. The Rambam tells us something. Even though he says you can't really know it, because it's not according to your seichel, it's called the Daitish of Keldeus. But there has to be some clue. That means you have to fathom that could be the direction. Otherwise, the Rambam tells you philosophy which has nothing to do with halacha. You know, the Rambam tells you it is according to something you don't know. Fine. Or I tell you in halacha, you really don't know. Fine. There are a lot of things I don't know. So why does he have to tell me I don't know? No, because he wants to tell you it is not according to your accounting, but it's going to something else. So it says, Daito shall kail el deus. So Daito shall kail deus, according to what I hear, I try to hear that, I try to listen to that. So Daito shall kail deus, the Rambam says, to measure an aveira, or to measure a mitzvah, you need a thing which is called das. That's why he emphasized that twice. Daitoi shall kail deus. That means you need a thing which is called das. We all know in the Chumash, das is a lotion of chibur. We'll say that. In America, we say relationship. When you tell me relationship, I begin to vomit. Yeah? Okay? But that's what you say. But das means das. But das means something together with chibur. The way the Torah uses that. So it sounds that the aveira, which is a disaster, is an aveira which creates estrangement. You estrange yourself from the Boreolam. That's a disaster. And a mitzvah is something which creates, and now, this is not now, we'll define that, because all these words are in a certain way abused. But it creates connection. But this word of connection also is a very, very, it's a wrong word today, you know, connection, what does that mean, you know? But it creates a certain thing which is connection. So those are two things. Now, that means that now we have some clue where to look for to be Chazor B'Tshuva. Because the Chazor B'Tshuva is not the Shulchan Aruch. It is what makes you strange and what makes you connected. We'll speak about that soon. But that's you see it in the Gemara itself. Because you see that the Gemara itself says that the worst strange thing you could do to Hashem is Oved Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara says the Goyim in Chutz La'aretz, they are not so punished so harsh. Because the Avodah Zarah they do, it is Minig Avoseyam BeYudeyam. It is their heritage, which they inherited from their ancestors. That's why the way you say it. Yeah? So it Mimele what? Maybe what the Halacha. When I come to Beis Din, I make Avodah Zarah, Be'edim V'Hasroi, you know, I will will tell me that's an Avodah Zarah, you may not do it. And then I say, Afal Pi Kein, I do it. And then come to Basin and say, but you know what? My father already did it. What will Basin do? Basin will tell me, Mira Bobis Daige, you know? That doesn't matter to me. You made the Aveira. Accounting-wise, the Aveira Zor is exactly the same as when you did it on purpose from yourself. The same thing as when you inherited from your father. But what? It doesn't estrange you so much because it doesn't mean you took a position. Yeah? Your ancestors took a position and you simply followed them. That means you didn't position yourself in an alien way to what Hashem wants. You didn't position yourself like this. It is a thing which my father already did. So, Mimele, that doesn't create such an alienation between you and Hashem. Yeah? So, that's the measurement around. Yeah, was it?
I don't understand that, because aren't we all judged according to our Bechira range, and that's part of the Bechira range?
That's the Gemara.
Jew, I'm saying, if I grew up a certain way, then I'm held less or more accountable based on my...
It's not accountable. It doesn't make you so strange, because it's not a position of you. That's the point. For sure, you could do it or you can't do it. I don't speak now about Bechira. I speak about what is a severe thing and what is not a severe thing. A severe thing is something which cuts through the relationship or whatever we want. We'll speak about that with Hashem. And a less severe thing is a thing which doesn't cut through. Bechira or not Bechira, that's not in you. That's not our business. The business is what means big and small. Big and small means that. Big and small means something which makes you strange and something which doesn't. Okay? Now, in order to understand that better, and not only empty words as relationship and connection and cutting through, which all those are very nice words which may make you feel very inspired. That also, I don't know what that means. I'm very much inspired. But you can't really work with that. You can't really work. I'm connected. So what? So I want to explain that, and that's what I meant, that there is a very specific thing, a very specific quality in the life of women which have that possibility to understand that in a very simple way, in a very tangible way, and nothing lofty, but in a very tangible way. Look, I don't know today, we are all in the middle of this before November, you know, so that so you may not make any judgmental or any categorizing remarks about any part of human beings, but let's put that shtus away, and let's think realistically. That means, in a realistic way, there is a difference between men and women. There is a difference, because my wife had 10 children, but I didn't have even one. Yeah? So, vice versa, there's a difference, you know? And why are we so close-minded to think that this is only a bodily difference? It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. It's an idiotic thing, you know? This whole treating everyone the same and everyone is the same, I think it's simply silly. It's mamish silly. It makes no sense. But it doesn't mean, and now you'll see that soon, it doesn't mean that you degrade a person. Yeah? Doesn't mean. And I want now to understand it in a very ehrliche way. I want to try to understand it in an ehrliche way, not out of that I think... I never had an issue with that. We spoke about that last time, I think. I never had an issue with the women's issue. I don't have an issue with that. People want to speak about equality and, you know, with modern, you know, feminism. I never had an issue with that. I say every single morning, Shelo Yosani Isho, and I'm happy with that. Okay? That's the assumption. Fine? Yeah. And you say Shelo Yosani Kiltsoina, you're also happy with that. That's it. The question is, what is said? What is going on? And there's nothing degrading about anything. It's a question of where the reality is. Difference in the reality gives a difference in the reality. So what's the reality? What is the reality? I want to explain one thing, which is a basic thing, which was nischadish to me. Only the beginning was, that is a musik, difficult a little bit. I don't really know what that means, but I tried. So I tried to do that. I don't really know what that means. Even though I say it twice or three times a day, it means Ohavto es Hashem Elokecha, Avas Hashem. What does that mean? So when you translate that into English, then it's for sure wrong. Yeah? I don't know how to translate that. I even don't know how to use that. I had a South American which they were growing up in between very religious Notzrim, you know, so he told me I can't use that word. When you were growing up in South America or in Spain, or in a place, Spain the same thing, or in a place which is very religious, you can't use that word love. You can't use that because you will not be able to say that. Yeah? That what? It's not a good translation. It's not. It is not. Yeah? But you say it twice a day. What does that mean? What does it mean, Avas Hashem? So Avas Hashem, that's only a beginning. What I tell you, I don't know. I really don't know so much, but I think it's in that direction. Avas Hashem means that you are happy that someone else enters your life, or even more so, someone else has a say in your life. That's what Ava means. Yeah? Ava means that someone else, not you, but someone else enters your life. Huh? Someone else enters your life. So, or someone else even has, in a certain realm, guidance over your life. So, to have guidance over life now, we have to be adults. We don't have to be childish. Guidance over your life does not mean that you are taken Mündigkeit, how do you call that? When you are 18, how do you call it? Mm-hmm. That you are rich. Mm-hmm. You know, you're rich that you can.
Maturity.
Mündig means something else. Mündig means that I have a right to vote. Right. How do you call that?
Yeah.
Legal.
Emancipated from voting. Professor, you're not. I like when you need an apitropis, you know what an apitropis is? When you need ein Vormund in German. Yeah, an apitropis. Autonomy, that's right. That's right, autonomy. Right, so someone else enters your life and you think, or someone else even guides your life. You think it's taken away your autonomy, then you are superficial. It's absolute superficiality. To think like this. That's what all these people who say attack Haredi people, they think they are not really, they don't even have an autonomy because Hashem is guiding their life. So they are like halfway mentally retarded, when you may say that. I think that you may say, not say in England, in America too. So may not say that. But you're halfway in like something wrong, you know, with you because someone else is telling you what to do. So this is good for people which are not so intelligent. And then you take a step back and think, okay, so Reb Chaim Brisker and the Goen, they were seemingly not so intelligent. Huh? So it makes really no sense. And they didn't have an autonomy. No, they have very much an autonomy. So autonomy and being guided, or even someone else enters your life, or someone else guides your life, has nothing to do with your autonomy. And this is a thing which a woman has a natural inclination to do to it in a very healthy way. Why? Because just imagine, you know, this is a thing which goes through to the reality of a woman, which I'm not thinking that's the only definition point of a woman. No, I don't think so, but it is a thing which definitely divides the world of the men and the women. That means when you are waiting for a child, so you are guided from someone else, huh? The home, you don't feel well. I think someone else there in your life, 24/7. Someone else. It's not you. It's someone else. And you have that. I don't have that. You have that. That you. And then when you say, "I lost my autonomy," you know, then you have to go to therapy. You know. Mm-hmm. You didn't lose your autonomy, no. It's a change in your life that this someone else which enters your life is changing the preferences, is changing your attitude, is changing your range of activity you can do. But it's not the thing which you feel, No. It's not like this. That's an accepting, and that's a part of your own personality, which this is a very unique part of a woman, yeah? A It's a very natural and unique part of a woman that she has that, that she can let someone else enter her life without losing autonomy. That's the big difference between the natural inclination of a woman and the one of a man. The man, when you, Leona, when you are married, then you know that exactly, that your husband, every single millimeter which you want to chip away from his seemingly being his own boss, that's part of a disaster. Eh? Because that is not natural inclination, dear. And has nothing to do with godless, has nothing to do with being bigger, it has only to do with one thing, being different. There is a nature. It's a nature that someone else can enter the life. And now, this is the inner core of that what I call connection. Connection doesn't mean some feeling I'm connected or love I feel. No, it means a very sincere thing. Someone else is entering my life. Someone else begins to guide my life. Yeah? Someone else. It's not me. Someone else. But I am willing to accept that. So that is the closeness. That is that women are naturally closer to that what the Rambam means. And the Rambam says that you have to have the keil deyus. That means it's a question of connection. A big avera or a big mitzvah is a question how much it makes you connect. It doesn't mean connection in that sense, you have it in a superficial way. Connection means that you're willing that something else is entering your life. And now when we want to be chozer b'tshuva as women, we have to understand that we have to open ourselves up that something else enters our lives, but that something else has to be connected to Torah mitzvahs. Yeah? But it's something else. So this is the challenge we are heading before Yom Kippur. And that's the way we can change, you see, we can change without this rigid consultation with the Shulchan Aruch. It's something else entirely. Do I have that something else, not me, and not my own preferences, which I would have myself, something else enters my life. And you have a natural inclination that you could do that. So we have to use that koyach in order to be chozer b'tshuva. Okay? Good. So that is the first point we have to think about. When we want to be chozer b'tshuva, we have to think, where is that place where we see that something else could enter our life? Where is that? Huh? Where is that? Is that in our ben odom l'chaveroi? That something else which enters my life, that's my neighbor, or that those are my children, or this is someone else. That could be ben odom l'chaveroi. Could be also ben odom l'mokim. Could be also ben odom l'mokim. Something else is guiding my life. That could be other preferences. Now let's go for one step further. Okay? 1 minute. Perhaps when it goes too quick, you have to tell me that, because this could be that I override the people. That could be. So you have to tell me that. Don't be afraid of me. People are afraid of me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me. That's okay. Whatever you ask, I try to relate to. Yeah, was he?
So just to clarify, everything you're saying is a hava. Like love.
Not everything, but the Ava is around that point. I do not know what Ava means. I do not know. I really don't know. I for sure don't know what Yira means. I don't know what that means. But also Ava, I don't know what that means really. But it has to do something with that someone else enters the picture. I don't tell you this is the final point in Ava's Hashem. That's the final, but it has to do with that. And then it becomes something which is very workable. And not Avas Hashem means I have to feel uplifted or I have to feel inspired. No. It's a very sincere thing. Are you willing that someone else is entering your life and is just interfering with your, and we'll speak about that, with your life and how that looks like, we'll speak next. But are you willing to do that? I don't tell you that's the whole point, but for sure, that's a part of it. You also feel it.
So when we're saying that, we have to think of a place that
No. When you do that in every place, then you have to have treatment afterwards.
Right. But I'm thinking that, I think I could use that in every.
Yeah, but don't.
Right.
Don't. So we'll speak about that. Okay. We'll speak about that. But don't. When you do that in every place, then you will be, somewhere else.
Right.
That's very unhealthy. Yeah.
Right.
So that is a dangerous thing to deal with.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. It's not so simple. But one has to deal with that in tshuva. Yeah? But otherwise, tshuva, really, that is the Rambam. You see now, the Rambam is entirely a new way of looking at that whole thing when he says, it's lefi goydel aveira. It's not lefi minyan. That means not the counting. You see the difference. It's entirely different world. Because accounting, that's very clear. Accounting, then you say, okay. Then you would say, accounting, okay. Then I have a preference. Accounting, I take the big Aveira, and then, you know, according to Shulchan Aruch and the Rochobu, and very clear. But he says, no accounting, there's something else. So there's something else, according to my opinion, the way I want to make it. Now, Rabbi Yisrael says something else. He says two things, two ways of understanding that. And so I have a third way. Right? Good, you know, you can't do that. So, according to my opinion, the Rambam tells you, Daito Shel Keudeus means that it is a question of connection. And the question of connection, a deep way of understanding connection, doesn't mean I feel connected. I'm connected to you because you enter my life. Then I'm connected to you. Yeah?
But you still feel the feeling?
Of what?
When you do that, do you still feel a feeling of connection? Or not necessarily?
No, we feel that. We'll speak about that. That will be now. So soon. Wait. It takes time to develop the idea. It takes time. I can't throw everything at once, otherwise it will be simply a balagan, yeah? Someone wants to ask a question? No? It's okay? Okay. Okay, so that is till now. Now, there is another part of that, let's go one step further. When something enters your life in that way that it guides your life, this is connected that you give that thing value. Now, value, again, it's also a word which is abused. Because when you tell someone, I very much value your opinion, with other words you tell him, please go home, and I don't want to speak to you anymore. You know, that is a way to guard yourself, that I very much value your opinion, yes. And then, finished. So value today is it's used in the wrong way. I don't have another way to say it. Erech, you know? Erech means I really give real value to a thing.
Erech with an ayin or aleph?
Erech with ayin. No, erech with aleph means it means long, you know? Erech means ayin. Erech kesef. To give erech. Okay? I give value. It's something you could say it's important. But all these words today are abused. Yeah? You are important for me. It's a similar thing, you know, that important, you know. You don't do that because it's all the same thing. Because you really don't want anyone enter your life. That's why you use these words in the wrong way. You say, you tell the one, you are very important for me. But it's a polite thing. And you want the guy or the lady to go home, you know. No, importance or value or things like this. This is the mafteach for relating, because you relate to or you let something enter your life. That is now begins the feeling. You ask, yeah? That it stays the feeling, but the feeling is not a feeling of connection or whatever it is. It's feeling. This is value, and there now we have to contemplate. When you understand that this is a question of value, and something else has to enter my life, and that has to be a thing which has value, then we have two ways of thinking, where are we holding? What do we wrong? There are ways of not giving value to anything. You call that indifference. I think when you today work with kids at risk or people at risk, the most disastrous thing is indifference. Lo echpat. Shum davar lo echpat. Nothing. You know, nothing. There's a school, I just heard a school which someone was in a modern school somewhere in New York area, in a very modern school, and asked the children, a student asked the friends in the class, how many are, let's say, fasting Yom Kippur, not eating Yom Kippur? How many? 50%. And the other 50 eat. So I asked, this eating Yom Kippur, is that rebellious or is it indifferent? So it is indifferent. Why should I fast, you know? It's not rebellious, it's simply indifferent. Makes no difference. So you see, indifference is a disastrous thing. Because indifference means that nothing can enter your life because you don't give value to anything. Yeah? Indifference is a very, very wrong attitude. Yeah? Because only...
When you said first, when something enters your life, you give that thing value.
Yeah.
So is it something you... So what comes first? You value it and then you bring it into your life? Or...
No. These things, you have to understand that in Keichas HaNefesh, things are neighbors. Things are not one the reason for the other. When one thing is the reason for the other thing is the reason for that. Yeah? This is whatever. But it has to, it, for sure, those are going, these two are going together. And when you are indifferent, a person is indifferent, then he lacks the whole point that something should be big, something should be important, that something should enter his life. I'm indifferent, nothing enters my life. Yeah? That's one thing. The other thing is that something alien enters your life. That's like Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah is something very alien. I think it's the most alien thing to Hashem, which could be. No, this is Kavua. So the most alien thing which could be in the Torah is Avodah Zorah. So it's like Avodah Zorah, that you have something alien entering your life. So the question where you're holding. So now it begins to think, I now have to begin to think. According to the Rambam, now that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam tells you the Avera is measured according to the how big it is. And that means you have to do something with that. It's not only a philosophical statement the Rambam does and tells you big and small and not only accounting. No, it obligates you to something. So it could obligate you that you should create value in your life. Or it obligates you that you should change value in your life. Those are two things you could do. When you are indifferent, then you have to create value. And when you are having, when you have an other value guiding your life, that means you are loving something else. You love something else is central. Something else enters your life, which is not Torah mitzvahs, or even against Torah mitzvahs. When that happens, then the tshuva is that you think, I have to change my value. I have to try to change that. So those are two things. Or I give, I create value. I was indifferent till now. Or I change that. Yeah? Okay? For example. Now I'll give you an example. Yeah? An example which will show you that things are simple. Yeah? These things are simple. I tried simply to dissect the Rambam. But these things are simple. They are not sophisticated. When they are sophisticated, you can't work. No person in the world can work with sophisticated things. You only work with simple things. So I tell you in Ben Odom L'Chaveiroi, yeah, what means a value and creating a value. I had a boy, a student, which he is a very, you know, these American intellectuals. Yeah, I think he's a Harvard graduate, you know. And then he gives you always the impression that he is very much thinking. And that is really, you feel that is real, that is this real, it's always out of a distance. And he comes to me and says, I want to be working on tshuva, on something. What do you want to work on tshuva? Interesting. I want to work on chesed. What do you want to do? I want to make pure chesed. Only giving, not taking. And I was contemplating and I saw that every chesed I give, it always goes together with a chesed that I want to take from the other person. So I want to have pure chesed, only giving. So when someone comes like this to me, this is, I am a very wrong person to come to with such a thing. Because I just hear that aim that I want to be one of those, it's like Kant could come like this or something like this, but not normal. A noble person doesn't come like this, you know. I am the only giver and not the taker. And then he wants me that I should, I should supply some intellectual construct that this should satisfy him and he would be happy. So the moment he told me that, all my riches came out of me, I wanted to be a real washer. So I told him, I think there's another thing going on by you. Huh? It's not the question of chesed the way you think, it's another thing. Because by me, in the pasuk, it says, by you the ulevein shinayim micholov. Toiv loivin shinayim, it's better a smile than the milk you give. So, I think by you, the problem is not giving. The problem is saying good morning after davening to your neighbor and smile to him. That's the problem, not the giving. Huh? That's the problem. So he was a little bit, surprised and said, that's very interesting, And then I just told him, and then I was, I wanted to break through that thing. So I told him in his face, by you, your intellectual thing, that's or a pose, or it's a lack of emotion. You can decide whatever you want. But there is or a pose, these people which they have a pose like this, I am an intellectual and they have to say that always and they have to show that always. Or it is a lack of emotion, or, but you can decide. So he was pushed to the wall. And then suddenly he says, I hear what you say, but you know what? To my children I have that. To my children I smile. And now you couldn't imagine what happened at that moment. It was something when I would have, a film apparatus, I would film that thing. Because the moment he said, with my children I have that, his face changed to a place where it was really non-recognizable. I didn't recognize a person. It was a very simple person, smiling and sympathetic, no intellectual come out, there was nothing super intellectual there, nothing more. There was simply a smiling, good, simple person sitting in front of me. That was like, I couldn't believe. I could not believe. But that's what means that he now begins to say, that has value for me. That doesn't have intellectual load. You understand that? That has value because I am emotionally or with my midas connected to that. And my midas are making that important. Value is not a thing that you do over here with your intellect and say, I value relativity theory. Just you don't have to value, you have to understand it, and you won't. Yeah? Or I value Newton. This, no, you don't value that. It's better not to value him. He was simply, he had a kick out of it to kill people, you know that. He was working for the government, and in the end of his days, he was working for the government and chased the people which are took away the taxes. And that was his, he wasn't such a nice guy, Newton. But I wouldn't value the person. Schrödinger, okay, you know no physics, But Schrödinger, when you value that man, then you are crooked, then better not, Better not. But I don't value these people, that's not value. They were deep thinkers. But that has nothing to do with value. Value means that my midas come up and say, this is important for me because that's your feeling. You see, that's your feeling. This is important for me because there I am, and now connected or attached or inspired or what. Well, now you say whatever you want, something. Yeah? But that is value entering your life, and you have to work on that. And you have to work that the value which enters your life should be a value which is connected to Torah mitzvahs. I'm not so much in favor to say we have to bring Hashem back into the picture, because this is a musik which is very high up. But some value which connected to Torah mitzvahs. Yeah? For example, Hakoras HaTov. You know what Hakoras HaTov is? Hakoras HaTov. Hakoras HaTov is a very difficult thing. Very difficult. Because the moment you have a Tova, you have a tendency that you want to run away with it. Yeah? You don't want to really stand with that you got it from somewhere. No, it's mine. I have it in my pocket. Yeah, Todah Rabah. But you run away. You don't want to stay with that. It's a very difficult thing. I don't know whether you once thought what you do when you say Shmona Esra. You say Shmona Esra and you say Boch Ato. So Ato means you. That's right? But when you say Ato, you bend. Do you ever think that's a nonsense? When you bend in front of a king, you say His Majesty. Or you say Mr. President. I don't know what will be after the next elections, what you do. Whether you say, I don't know what you do with a Mr. President then, you know. But something you do. But you say, you bend and then you say third person. You will never say second person and bend. It's a sugar. I tell you. You. When you say you. When someone tells that, that was ridiculous. You know, people tell me, the rabbi, so was Mr. Vomir, but that is, no, they feel that I'm Machabed me. The rabbi. But you don't say you. Then you, that means you are familiar. So I'm very familiar with the Beroilo. I tell him you. But at that moment I bend. Makes no sense, no? No, the sense is very simple. The sense is very real. Because how can you say you to Hashem? How can you say you? You know him? The point is, yes, you know him, because your simple life is entered by him. It is your health, it is your food, it is your look, your eyes, which are work, it is your family, it is your whatever you have, whatever you are, this comes from Hashem. So for sure it's you, because it is the same hate as you. But at that moment, when you say you to Hashem, and you understand, no, he gives me everything I have. I'm looking at him in the eyes. Because he's really there in my day-to-day needs. But at that moment you bend. At that moment, at the same moment you bend. Because at the same moment you say, this Torah is way above me. It's way above me. Even though I say Ato, but it's way above me. That's easy? It's not. It's not easy. It is not easy that you are makir toive. You are bending in when you think about what you have or what you got. That's not easy. But that's the work. That's the work of giving value. Giving value, hakoz atoiv. Could be giving value, but on the chesed. So the giving value chesed doesn't mean I am a giver and not a taker only. That is an intellectual construct. But the giving value to Benono Chaveiroi or to Chesed is that I smile to the other one, because that's a question of a very real midah which emerges there. It's not some intellectual thing, yeah? And the blending in Ato is a very real thing that I have to bend in. That's not so easy, you know? I don't want to do that. That is Benono Chaveiroi or Benono Namokim. It is all of the Shabbos, you know? The Ketusha in the Chum. No, the Kishke in the Chum. No, that was the Ketusha in the Chum. Was this for me? No, no, the Chum. No, Shabbos is a very central thing in giving a value. But to what give you value? What to? So it could be, it depends on how your family is built. But value in the family once in a while is sitting together with the family and giving only one knack of depth or deeper thought in the Shabbos table. No more. Then it's value. Otherwise you impose something. For example, by me, my children never suffered that I will say a Torah on the table out of a book. They never suffered that, you know? That I sit next to it and say, yes, the Or HaChaim says in the Parsha that I am minut now, and no, they didn't have that. They didn't have that. My Sforim are not with Chometz. I never looked at the Sefer at the table. I don't look at the Sefer never, you know, so before not at the table. So I don't look at the Sforim. They are not with Chometz, nothing. But by us, we discussed at length things which are interesting on the Shabbos table. My children remember that the Shabbos table was a question of a discussion, but it was a discussion which was slightly above this normal chat which goes on throughout the week. No more, but that creates central value, and I am connected to it. I have that. So that is the work we do when we chozer b'tshuva. You see. So that is a work which is very close to us. It's not far. And it's not the question that we take a Shulchan Aruch and we look through the Shulchan Aruch and when we stumble over something which is chomo, that's where to be chozer b'tshuva. No. It's a question of Gödel and Kotten. It's a question of where are we connected? Where is the value and where is the value not? And that is a very natural thing by your life of a woman. That's the most natural thing. That's everyone admits that. That even outside of Torah Mitzvahs, outside of the world, is admitting that the strength of women are in relating to things. Relating. They let themselves relate to things. And it is that this childish, I don't know how to say it, it's uppermost childish thing that when you think that something else enters my life, I lose my autonomy. This is like what is the ideal? That you live on an island, Robinson Crusoe, that you live on an island alone, no one there, and that's the biggest man in the world. That is the most miskin man in jail, you know, when you live in South Africa there out on in the island where you know, I don't know how to call that there. Mr. Over here they have that too. Over here they don't have such an island, a prison. Anachol, yafe, okay. Yeah, that's schrecklich, you know. So those are the big people. Yeah, those are the real big people. They don't need anyone. They don't have anyone. They are entirely on their own. That's big? No, that's the uppermost misken. That is a thing which is against humanity, you know, when you are alone. No, there are other people there. Yes, there are other people there. I should be able to tell them what to do. No. I have other people there that they should enter my life. And I don't lose my autonomy because of that. I do not. That's part of my autonomy, that someone else is in my life. And I still am an autonomous person that I do that. I decide and I have my decision. And that's a very natural thing by a wife. Very much so by a woman. Yeah? So you have to use that koyach, and that makes you closer to the b'chozer b'tshuva. And that's a very natural development. It's a very natural thing. So I think that is a new thing in Chazor HaBetshuva. Where are we looking for? In which area do we look for? Not going through the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and things like this, only really thinking, where is that value, that centrality entering my life? Where is that? Shabbos, Benotam L'Chaveroi, Benotam L'Mokam, Hakor HaZatoi, V'Shmona Esra, where is that? Which I feel that this is where I want to invest. And now there, now you can do whatever you want. Now it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. You don't have to do it everywhere because now you see, there are all different kind of midas which are important. When you take this musik, that someone else enters your life in an abstract way, then you think you can do it everywhere. But when you understand it, that's a question of value, then you understand, I can't work on value on everything. It drives me crazy. And it's not shaykh. I have to fine-tune myself, where is that value which is connected to Torah mitzvahs I want to work on. And then I change it to a different person in a very healthy way. Huh? And I think that's what Tshuva is about. Okay? So that's why they wanted to be Chadash. It's special in a very natural way for people around the table over here, which are women, which that is more natural to you in a certain way, you know? More natural to you because you have this feeling like built in by you. So that is what I meant to say for now. I hope that, yeah, what is now?
Okay, what a what sort of like a flip side of that be as a starting point to starting this process? Would that be to think about things that are entering your life and guiding your life that shouldn't be guiding your life, or that, for example, I'll give an example, like time spent on the internet that ends up just being something that, you know, it's in your life and it's keeping you away from things that will...
That was the intention when I said I will dissolve it. That means there is something else entering, which I have now to change that. So this is... So I didn't want to go head on, otherwise I would say internet, I would say social status, I would say all different kind of nasty things, you know? So I didn't want to go into that, but for sure. But there you have to be very careful and analyze deeply what is that, what makes the internet, for example, enter my life. Is it boredom? What is that? Is it boredom? I hold the problem of the internet is that we are sakranim, how do you call it?
Curious.
I think curiosity is a thing which kills us. Even though you would say curiosity is a very good thing, or you have to keep it in borders. No, curiosity is a very bad thing. Curiosity, we spoke about that last time over here?
No?
Curiosity is one of the worst things which are there. Even though you would say, no, curiosity you need for the child to develop. No, it's not. It's interest. They're two different things. Curious and interested are two different things. Interest you need. You have to foster interest. But curiosity is a very superficial thing. Curiosity is, it's the most superficial thing. And internet is fed by curiosity. And when we don't have a way how to deal with curiosity in our own life, we will not be able to fight the internet. We will not shayach.
Maybe also laziness.
Could be laziness too, but I think curiosity is something we...
Can I give an example? I used to have AOL, and I still do, but now everything gets transferred over to Gmail, and they always had these blurbs that came up on the news that sounded like, you know, figure out why this person only had 11 fingers, or something like that. And I'd be curious. So I click on it. Now, some of the time, there were terrible things that they spoke about in this thing. This is Huffington Post. Okay, I'm curious about the 11 fingers. And then I'd read it, and I'd say, this taught me nothing. Like, what a waste of time. I didn't even get my needs fulfilled. And then I realized, no more. This is like, no more. I will not click on that again. I learned nothing from it. There's nothing... important here. There's nothing of relevance. There's nothing that's
going to
help
you.
But
curiosity doesn't.
Curiosity. What do you mean 11 fingers? They were walking around life with 11 fingers? You know?
Yeah. Curiosity is a danger. And we never thought about that. No one in the educational scenery really thought about that. They don't distinguish between curiosity and interest. Interest is the best thing in the world. But you are interested where you're holding. Curiosity is... You're curious about things you don't hold, you know? You're not in there. When you are a doctor or a genetic professor, 11 fingers is something which is uppermost of interest because it's a deformation of development. And how can that be? Is the 11th finger functional or not functional? Is it? How does that, did that happen, that there is another muscle? Is there other muscles till the root of the hand or not? That's very interesting. But it's not curious, it's interesting. But when you're not a physiologist or you're not a geneticist, so then that's not interesting. It's simply curious. So what is it? You know? No, I have to be open-minded. What does that mean?
I'm not sure there's so much value in our society.
It is.
Yeah.
So we connect to that.
There are other values in the society which are disastrous. There are values in the society which is called grit, reaching the goal, disastrous. I give a video now. I was Ben Asmani. I wrote a book on Tshuva, a new book. Yeah, I know a new book. I have it here. A new book, a very interesting book on Tshuva. Just now in Rosh Chodesh, I worked on that the whole year, and especially Ben Asmani. I didn't have one day Ben Asmani. One day, 3 weeks after Tisha B'Av, I was working on that sefer like a madman. So a half a day, I went out of home for stopped walking around with my wife for half a day, and one time someone gave me a documentary to look about a boy which would have to win the gold medal in 2010 in skateboarding, Winter Olympics, and they began the documentary. It's about real people, you know. They began the documentary because they were for sure that he wins the gold medal, and then he had 60 days before the Olympic Games, he had a terrible
accident,
and he had a brain injury, and slowly he recovered from that. And then it was discovered that this man is an idiot, because even after the brain injury, he wanted to go back to snowboarding. Against all the odds, against all what the doctor said, that he'll die. You know, when he only falls a little bit on his head now, he'll die. You know, I want to go. It's an idiot. He was an idiot. He had a brother. It was very interesting. There were four sons. They were a very frum Goyish family, you know. Nothing unsneistic there. And he had a Tismone Down brother, which took him out of that problem. You know? The Tismone Down brother told him, you don't do that. I will be sad. And he was helping in getting out of this idiotic grit, you know, his nonsense. And then there was Miss Boynen. What would it be when that boy would win the gold medal? He would be the idol of America, but he would be the same idiot. And it's going to be an idiot for the boyhood. That didn't change. That wasn't part of his brain injury. This being occupied only with one thing, and nothing else matters, and I will go through all the walls. That's a value which is not Jewish, my dear friends. That's not Jewish. That's something very alien to Judaism. And you value that to the uppermost level. Do you see that you are going on the wrong path? It's wrong. The idol over here in America is Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs and me in one room. After 2 minutes, one of the two leave, or me or him. I won't be able to sit with that guy 1 minute. Because I'm a sugar razor. He has only one thing in his head. Absolute uninteresting, then you say, uppermost creative. That's called creative. That's called uppermost one mind folded in the world, you know. But over here in America, you think that's the biggest, those are the biggest people. Don't you see that this is a problem? You value the wrong thing. I want to value a full person. A person which is able to do a thing and is able not to do it. The way the Rambam says, you're going the middle way, you know. You have a possibility to do it, there's a possibility not to do it. For example, we are not aware what are the values which are guiding our lives. We are not aware of that. So this, I didn't want to go into that, because when I would say what are the wrong values, I would be a very nasty person, because there are very wrong values going on. But me too. Very wrong. Very wrong values. And this is like, it's scary to think about them. But whatever you do, you try to put in a certain value of Torah in your life, that's a change. Yeah? Okay?
How do you increase that? We know that we have wrong values. So it's not that we don't know. So
yeah.
How do you work on trying to increase the value?
So this is that you feel that your midas are pointing into that direction. And it's interesting. It's challenging you. It's not disastrous, but it's challenging you. It's difficult because it's a change, but it's a challenge. It's a thing you feel you can master. Yeah? For example, I mean, in my own work, I have to try to express, which I try to do here. So verbally express my ideas in an understandable way that goes somehow. Once in a while I'm afraid that I'm too strong and too overriding, but because I see the faces and then see that people is they turn over into one big question mark, then I understand. Now I have to think it over and I have to do something with that. So I can think. But when I write, it's a disaster because the paper doesn't make any question mark, and my writing is an absolute disaster. Only I am able to understand what I write. No one else. I have a friend which he himself can't read what he wrote, so I don't hold it. No. But I am writing things, and it's only me which understands what I mean. No one else. I have to work on that. So suddenly I see that I have to give that value, and this rubs me in a way that I have to change things I didn't fathom to change. But it's a challenge. It's not a thing which I feel I can't do. It's a challenge. I want to grow there. It's a part of my business. It's a part of my endeavor. I want to grow there. I try to invest there. And that's the challenge I try to grow with. But I feel I have points which are have an affinity with me, which I can do, which I'm able to do. So then I can grow. But when a thing is alien entirely, that I see, then I don't attack it. What shall I do? Then what shall I do? I don't walk into a minefield and say, I am a strong man, I go through the minefield and fine, you know, then I blow up and it's gone, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't go on a minefield, I go on a way, on a path where there is a possibility of finding a path of me. So I see that I have something there, it's difficult, but it's a challenge. Then I invest in that and then I'm growing, yeah, then I'm changing, yeah.
Last time that the Rav sat with us, he discussed the idea of breaking through boundaries.
Yes.
Or borders. And I was under the impression a little bit that that meant try to go sometimes for things that you wouldn't necessarily have thought were part of your nature.
Yes. But this is more in a relationship there because you have someone else there. We spoke about that you are married or something like this, that someone else in the picture. Mm-hmm. When someone else in the picture is much easier. Yeah. Because you are forced to do that. And then it's like the hashkocha which puts you there. No? Mm-hmm. I am married to someone which hashkocha puts me that I think that she thinks for sure I'm insane, that's even legitimate. But I think the same thing about her, you know. So that is the hashkocha which put me in there. So now I have to broaden my horizon, including that thing too. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't go myself stump. Breaking through boundaries, that's dangerous because who knows whether you can break through these boundaries. But when you're married to someone or someone else is in your picture, so that's what it is there, you know. So that's what's on your plate.
You call that tolerant.
Yeah, that it's on your plate, this thing, you know. So what shall I do? Good?
Thank you very much. Do you remember what chapter tells us to
What?
What chapter tells us to
Peregimo. Okay, good.
Thank you very much.